E.G. Chip Tatum, codename Pegasus. You are hereby ordered into service of the United States government. It has been determined that, name redacted, has illegally obtained documents which are of vital concern to the security of the United States and selected allies of the United States. It has therefore been determined by finding of the National Security Council that those documents must be recovered. Due to this determination, you are authorized to use whatever means necessary to recover said documents and ensure that this criminal is brought to justice. You are authorized to exceed existing regulations and FTMs to accomplish this mission. If loss of life occurs as a result of the performance of your duties, you shall be exempt and protected from prosecution. Signed, George H.W. Bush. Pegasus, copyright 1996. The Tatum Chronicles. I started my government service in 1970 as a semi-volunteer for military service during the Vietnam War. Having graduated Air Force Technical School, I joined the elite group of combat controllers. I was subsequently sent TDY to NKP Thailand. While in Thailand, during a covert mission into Cambodia, our unit, codenamed Team Red Rock, was captured by North Vietnamese and held as prisoners for 92 days. During interrogations by both Soviet and Chinese officers, Team Red Rock remained silent through the beatings and torture that more often than not ended in death. Had it not been for a patrol of U.S. Marines finding the encampment where we were held prisoner, all of Team Red Rock would have died. But fortunately for myself and my platoon sergeant, we were liberated by the recon patrol before we had been tortured to death. During the firefight between the U.S. forces and our captors, I was wounded. Already weak from the torture and beatings inflicted during interrogations, I slipped into a coma. 3 weeks later, I awoke in an Air Force hospital at Clark Air Force Base in the Philippines. Within a few days, a man from Saigon arranged to debrief the mission. During the debriefing, it was explained that the events which Team Red Rock were involved in had been classified by President Nixon for a period of 25 years. Due to the sensitive nature of the mission, the President required that I be held close for reasons of national security. It had been decided that the CIA would assume that responsibility. On June 6, 1971, William J. Colby, the man from Saigon assigned to debrief me, advised me that I was now under the operational control of the CIA. My code name was Pegasus. During the next 8 years, I traveled 5 continents under the operational control of the DCI, Director of Central Intelligence. As I collected data concerning movements of POWs from Southeast Asia to Asia and on to Europe, and forwarded the data to my handler, William J. Colby, and his predecessor, George Bush, I began to realize that our government was not going to act upon that data. At the end of my contract, I found myself compelled by a French resistance song to step aside for a greatly needed rest. When you fall, my friend, another friend will emerge from the shadows to take your place. I resigned in 1978 and left the service of my country to live in a quiet town tucked in the mountains of Colorado. Only time could heal the wounds that I had suffered through the years as Pegasus. In 1980, following the failed rescue attempt in the Great Salt Desert of Iran, I was involuntarily reactivated and placed in the U.S. Army. I soon found myself and my family at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, the new home of a U.S. Army Special Operations Unit called Task Force 160. Having participated in numerous covert missions with the 160th, I was given an assignment to Fort Stewart, Georgia. I was tasked with the mission of infiltrating a medical evacuation unit which was preparing to go to Honduras in support of military exercises. In February 1985, two flight crews from the 3rd of the 498th Med Company, Fort Stewart, Georgia, arrived at Pomerola Air Base, Honduras. Each flight crew consisted of a pilot, a co-pilot, a medic, and a crew chief. Upon arrival, our crew was ordered to report to the hospital commander for further assignment and billeting. The hospital commander, Colonel Zychek, introduced our crews to the outgoing medevac crews from Fort Riley, Kansas, home of the Big Red One. Following orientation and check rides with an instructor pilot familiar with the operating rules of the country, we assumed the medevac mission for Joint Task Force Bravo. Having flown extensively in Central America as a special operations pilot, I was well aware of the flight environment and the local operational restrictions. However, when I accepted the mission to infiltrate the 3rd of the 498th Medical Company and pose as a medevac pilot, as briefed by my handler, Oliver North, I was instructed to make no mention of previous involvement in the area. On February 15, 1985, during a flight to La Ceiba, Honduras, I was instructed to contact the man assigned by Oliver North as my local handler, Major Felix Rodriguez. Upon arrival in La Ceiba, I contacted Major Rodriguez. He picked up the crew and gave us lodging for the night at the CIA safe house. The house was surrounded by a 10-foot perimeter wall of concrete, and the only entrance was an Uzi wielding guard. Following dinner, the crew was sent to their quarters, while Major Rodriguez and I planned for our 4-month support calendar. I was scheduled to leave Honduras in June 1985. I was instructed that in addition to our normal medevac missions, my duties included a covert group of missions. The control word for these missions was Pegasus. All Pegasus missions took priority over normal medevac missions. Major Rodriguez also instructed me as to my chain of command missions could be ordered by any of the following: Oliver North, Assistant National Security Advisor to the White House; Amiram Nir, former Israeli intelligence officer, that's Mossad, and advisor to Vice President Bush; Felix Rodriguez, CIA. Normal aviation support provided by Pegasus missions included flights to the following areas: Ilopango, El Salvador. This was where the Corporate Air Services, a CIA-owned aviation company, was based. Contra camps, Honduras and Nicaragua. Various Nicaraguan rebel camps were located in the jungles and mountains along the Nicaraguan-Honduran border. The following morning, our air crew departed La Ceiba for Pomerola Air Base. During the next week, our missions were equally mixed between Pegasus flights into Contra villages and medevac support of U.S. military and Contra casualties. One common denominator on all Pegasus missions was the movement of large white coolers in and out of the Contra camps. They were always sealed and marked as medical supplies. On October 23, 1986, a C-130 cargo plane loaded with arms and ammunition was shot down over Nicaragua. The sole survivor of the crash was captured by the Nicaraguan military and taken to a Managua for interrogation. During interrogation, Eugene Hasenfuss would reveal to the Ortega-led Nicaraguan government that the aircraft which was shot down was owned by the U.S. government and that he was on the payroll of the Central Intelligence Agency. Although the United States vehemently denied ownership of the aircraft and any knowledge of employing Mr. Hasenfuss, subsequent investigations proved out and Mr. Hasenfuss's allegations were true. Dubbed the Iran-Contra affair by Attorney General Edwin Meese, President Reagan, denying any knowledge of the U.S. involvement, called for a special investigation to look into these absurd allegations. At a cost of over $40 million, the investigation yielded only a few prosecutions for minor infractions. It is curious that neither the Select Committee on Secret Military Assistance to Iran and the Nicaraguan Opposition Subcommittee tasked with congressional investigation of the Iran-Contra affair, nor the Office of the Special Prosecutor assigned to investigate criminal wrongdoings which occurred during the Iran-Contra affair, subpoenaed any active duty military personnel assigned to the border area of Nicaragua and Honduras. Had the service members been called to testify concerning the daily training, resupply, and support of the Contras, it would have been determined that the Boland Act, which prohibited any efforts of the United States or its military to support the Contra effort, was being violated. Testimony by military personnel would have also revealed that military aircraft and supplies were used to support the shipment of cocaine for manufacturing facilities co-located with CIA-supported Contra camps. Why weren't we called to testify? The following documents were filed with base operations at Pomerola Air Base, Honduras, between February and May of 1985. This was a full 2 years prior to the world ever hearing the names Oliver North or Iran-Contra. The documents were filed and stored through the years by the Honduran military. Recent attempts to locate the documents proved successful. I have compiled the military documents in a chronological order which follows a week-by-week sequence of events involving political, military, and intelligence officials from various countries. As you read the chronicles, you will find A. Flight plans. These are international flight plans filed in conjunction with the 1985 flights. Information includes the name of the crew members, destinations of the flight, passengers' names. Many flight plans will have remarks which were made by the pilots. These remarks were written on the reverse side of the flight plan. B. Mission briefs. Prior to each flight and at the completion of the flight, any irregularities or information affecting the mission would be briefed and included in the comments section of the mission brief.